This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey y'all, you're listening to episode 31 of Eco Chic. Eco Chic is a really fun place to share things like general climate change education or personal sustainability efforts. Things that are not necessarily common knowledge, but totally should be. My name is Laura, and I am a graduate student studying climate science. So a little bit of background. I completed my undergrad at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Go Heels. And I was able to go home this weekend for homecoming weekend. I was so excited to be back in Chapel Hill for the first time since graduation. And I reached out to my friend Carly about some interesting people that might want to be on the podcast. And she very passionately suggested that I reach out to Emma and Abby of the new UNC Sustainable Fashion Initiative. Emma and Abby are doing a really incredible job in Chapel Hill, opening up the conversation around sustainable fashion. So we talk a lot about thrifting, but we also talk about the issues in the fashion industry. So that would be organic cotton versus non-organic cotton, the pollutants that are associated with dyeing leather, the water intensity of producing denim. There are so many different angles that you could come at sustainable fashion at, and I'm so glad that I got to chat with them and just share a little bit of insight here for Eco Chic. Sustainable fashion is a little bit intimidating for some people because honestly, it doesn't really sound that cute. It sounds like you're walking around in a burlap sack. So I'm really glad that Em and Abby are opening the conversation about all of the things that you can do, and you can dress super cute and create your own style and really just embrace sustainability from a fashion perspective. And you don't have to really fit this mold that you might assume that sustainable fashion is. Fashion is actually listed as the second most wasteful industry in the world after oil, which is a really powerful statistic. So really every little bit helps. They're doing an awesome job just opening up the conversation. I'm excited to talk to them a little bit. And without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, hey guys, welcome to Eco Chic. I'm Laura and I'm really excited to have you here. So to give like a little bit of background on who you are in the conversation that we're having today, I was wondering if you guys could introduce yourselves and just kind of like give a little background of what you're doing at UNC.
Hey guys, I'm Emma. I'm the creator of SFI, Sustainable Fashion Initiative. It's a brand new club at UNC, and we basically are trying to educate UNC students about some problems with the fashion industry and like how it pertains to ethical issues, environmental issues, as well as like give people tools to be better activists for creating a better fashion industry, basically. I'm a sophomore at UNC.
My name's Abby. I'm a junior at UNC, and I'm studying environmental science. And I've always been involved with different organizations on campus relating to the environment. And Emma came up with this amazing idea for the Sustainable Fashion Initiative, and it's one part of the environmental problems that are facing our society right now that hasn't really been addressed on campus. And so I was really excited when she came up with that idea. And it is such a big problem within the sustainability realm and within the climate change issues and things like that. People don't think about the fashion industry. And so really just getting that presence on campus, I think, is really important. And so we just started this year, and I'm really excited to see what we can accomplish. We've already done a lot. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Awesome.
And fun fact, Abby and I went to high school together, and we ran the environmental club together at our high school.
Yes.
Not even. What a legacy. Yeah. The legacy continues.
Yes, we had to carry it out.
I love that. I love that you touched on the idea that a lot of people don't think about the fashion industry when it comes to sustainability. So what are like some of the, I guess, biggest issues that we kind of brush over? Like my thing is always, I was telling Emma earlier, denim. Like people don't think about all the water that goes into creating a piece of denim. Or even just like the workers' rights that are associated in the fashion industry. So, like, what are kind of some of the, I don't want to use the word easy, but, like, big things to tackle in a conversation about sustainable fashion?
I think you can talk a lot about some of the bigger things, but just with what you said about denim, I watched a video the other day from one of my classes about Levi's and the creator of that company, and they really talked about the impact that creating their denim has on the environment and the ways that they're trying to reduce that. And what they realized was they did a huge life cycle assessment of kind of the whole production process, and they realized that so much of the water being used is on the consumer end, and washing the jeans is such a big impact. And so they started campaigning and started trying to educate their consumers about washing their jeans less and kind of trying to reduce the water that they're using with regards to that. And so that was something that was really interesting to me. I'd always thought about, you know, the production process, so much water goes into it, all the materials and the impact that has on the environment. But something that's really interesting to think about is how the consumers are affecting the environment and how they could reduce the majority of water that was being used, they found was like by the consumers. And so by encouraging them to cut down water use, educating them on the impact that they were having, they were able to see a lot of reduction in impacts in that aspect. So that was really interesting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I would say one thing that I try to talk to people about is just how, like, our culture thinks about clothing in general. We have a very, like, use once or twice kind of culture, and then either throw it away, donate it, which we've, after looking into the issue more, we found out that 90% of clothes that are donated to Goodwill are just like either thrown away or shipped off to third world countries, where like Haiti, where they get the clothes and they have so many clothes that they're like, okay, we don't need clothes anymore, like we need like food, we need education, yeah. But like we're good on clothes, and so we think that, you know, we're donating things and that's like doing something that's really great, but in reality, like, we really just as consumers need to be pushing it way back. Like, we really don't need all of the things that we think we need. And also just kind of like rethinking how you view like the possessions that you have. I think it's a really cool idea to think like, oh, I place no values on the things that I have, like I'm just completely, like, things mean nothing to me. But if you do have a mindset where you kind of like do care about the things that you do have and you really value them, then you'll like actually want to consume less because you'll just like place more value on what you have. And then, so that's just kind of like a way to rethink like how you view your relationship with your clothes. But then as far as just like big problems with the fashion industry, I would say there's a lot of like environmental health problems with it, like pesticide used to grow like cotton and stuff. There's a really great documentary that we're gonna do a screening of this semester called The True Cost. It really just like goes over pretty much every issue with the fashion industry, but one like huge issue is all of these pesticides are just like sitting in these communities in a lot of like South Asia, like India specifically, and it's just contaminating their water. There's super high cancer rates and like just general like disability rates, so it's just like a huge polluter. And just kind of like having more environmentally conscious production so that we just aren't making things with like these toxic materials.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because The True Cost is a movie that I suggest to everybody.
Yes,
and if anyone's
so
listening, it's on Netflix. The last time I checked, at least, I saw it on Netflix.
I think so.
And something that really stuck with me also in the topic of just like environmental health in India specifically was leather, like dyeing.
Yes.
Leather, which I never used to think about at all. And leather is kind of like, at least personally for me, a consumer, is kind of a strange catch-22 because, like, I don't really want to buy leather now. I don't want to buy it new. And if it's dyed, it's like there's so many different issues around dyeing, and you have a lot of, like, alternative options when it mm-hmm. comes to dyeing. And then thrifting leather is also just, like, a whole other kind of battle of finding it. And thrifting
right.
is such an interesting skill that you really have to, like, hone in on. So I was wondering, like, what are some of the kind of low-hanging fruit of becoming a more conscious consumer when it comes to fashion? So thrifting is the one that I personally, like, always suggest.
Yes.
And I love to thrift, and I'm a big thrifter. And, like,
one of the things I wanted to do when I got back to Chapel Hill this weekend was go to Rumors, because that's like such a great like trendy little thrift store.
We're getting the woman who owns Rumors to come speak to our club in like a couple weeks. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Yeah. What are some of the like pros to that, or just other easy things? Like, are there certain fabrics that people should be looking for? Is it really just a matter of mindset and like the capsule wardrobe movement of I only own 10 t-shirts and that's what I'm going to wear for the rest of my life? What are just like some easy, like relatable, attainable options that people have when it comes to fashion?
I think thrifting is definitely a big one, and that does have such an impact in upcycling and reusing clothes and making sure you're not buying more and wasting more. Is something that's really important, and it can also be so much fun, and it gives you a unique fashion that's different from everyone else, which is really cool. And there's so many places, just Rumors in Chapel Hill, and it's so easy to find places like that, especially now. I feel like they're popping up all over the place. I was in Madrid this summer, and there was just a whole street that was all thrift stores, and it's just exciting to see, and you can go in and find such unique things at all of them while reducing your impact, which is really great. And something else I think that's important, I studied a lot this summer, fast fashion versus slow fashion, and kind of recognizing those companies that are producing fast fashion in a way that is unsustainable. And so big companies like Zara and Forever 21 and places like that, that are probably sourcing labor from unethical places and just trying to mass produce clothing at low costs with harmful dyes and things like that, just being able to recognize this is a store where the clothes probably aren't having the best impact on the environment. And so I think it's important, smaller businesses, maybe local companies and things like that, can really help you reduce your impact and are easy to find. It's just kind of having that mindset to recognize which stores you're shopping at are having the worst impact.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I also think people get really scared by the idea of like something like the capsule challenge, because it's such a huge shift. And so kind of like one thing that they promote in the True Cost is like the 30 wears challenge, where like when you're going to buy something, think like, okay, am I going to wear this 30 times? Because that's, I guess, like the suggested minimum amount of times you should wear a piece of clothing for it to like actually like get the use that for the amount of energy that was put into producing it to make it worth that production. So I would say definitely that. I would say, like, I love what you said about thrifting, because I personally think about like how it really challenges you to enhance your style, because I feel like since I've started thrifting more, like I've really figured out like, okay, I want my style to be something that reflects like my environmentalism, and I love how everything I find when I'm thrifting is like so unique, and like that's just so special. I think, you know, even like clothing swaps with your friends, apps like Depop, and like what's the other one?
Poshmark. Yeah, I buy just stuff from Poshmark all the time.
Yeah. It's so easy. And we, when we were trying to, for our stencil project, when we were trying to find different quotes and stuff to put in the stencils, one of the things that came up, we didn't make a stencil out of it, but the resale industry is growing like immensely. People are reselling things like crazy, and I think that's awesome, because we all have like so many things that we've worn 3 times but somebody else would like love. So I think, yeah, looking for, even if it's not like specifically a thrift shop, like a consignment shop, reselling, trading clothes with friends, even like, to me, I feel better shopping at like a TJ Maxx than at like a Nordstrom, because then you're getting, like, to me, it's like, if you're getting your clothes at a really low price based on what they were originally marked at, then you're putting less money in, like, the pocket of the company that made it. Which I feel like when you're deciding not to buy something from, like, a Nordstrom or, like, a Saks or something, then you're protesting with your money, which I think is, like, a big part of it. And so when you're buying things, like, on clearance or at TJ Maxx or Marshall's or something, then you're like giving them just barely the like any money. I don't know, that's kind of how I think of it. And then I don't know, like, well, we did our denim repurposing workshop where we just got like buttons and scissors and fabric swatches together, and people cut out shapes and like glued, you know, cute
strips of fabric on their jeans and jeans that they never wear anymore, and now they're going to start wearing them more because they actually like made them look like something that reflects their style.
Yeah, that was a really cool workshop we did earlier this year, and just to be able to see people were bringing in just kind of old pieces of denim jackets and stuff that they really didn't wear anymore, and they turned them into something so cool. And I've seen people from the club around wearing the stuff they made, and it's really cool to see that. And that makes a difference. They're not going out and buying a new denim jacket. They're just repurposing the one they had.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was...
People did some really cool things.
Yeah, there was awesome stuff that was done. And I think that's something else that's really cool about Sustainable Fashion Initiative is it gives people a creative outlet, and they're really able to express themselves, kind of find their style while reducing their impact and making a difference. And that's something that's really important for the club, and it's been really cool to see that play out.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like the idea of denim upcycling because I personally don't, I mean, like, I try my hardest to just thrift denim whenever I can. And I was saying earlier, it's kind of easy to do, like, denim jackets especially. Jeans are a lot harder for me because I feel like that's something that, like, body shapes are always so different. Right. Sizes are so different between jean brands. So it's, like, a little bit harder to thrift personally for me. But I love the idea of, like, upcycling and just bedazzling something and just, like, making it really cute.
It was fun.
I love that. What are some other things that you, like, have seen really helpful upcycling? Because I like the idea of upcycling. So, like, one that I'm thinking of is always, like, the old t-shirt that you make into a pillow or something like that. Just, like, cute little DIY projects. Yeah, so do you guys have any, like, easy suggestions for upcycling? Or what is upcycling as opposed to repurposing, as opposed to recycling, whatever?
So I guess repurposing is probably more like, I guess that's more what we did, where you take something and you're not really completely changing, like, what it is. You're just kind of embellishing it or shifting it slightly to, like, look different. But I think upcycling is more like, you take a shirt and you turn it into like a pillowcase. Like, it's something that's like completely different. So I guess one thing I always do is like, if I always like find old like tank tops and stuff that I have, and I'm like, oh, I wish this was like a little more cropped. Like, that'd look cute, and I just cut them. Like, I just cut like all of my clothes.
That's easy.
Yeah, it's super easy, and it's fun, and like I actually end up wearing a lot more things that I didn't wear before. And then we didn't do this, but there was a club on Earth Day last year that had just, I think it was the Environmental Frat, and they just, people donated their old t-shirts, which like everybody has like a million old t-shirts, and you just do this thing where you cut the bottom of the t-shirt into these little strings, like this part of the shirt, front and back, you cut them into little strings, and then you tie them, and then you flip it inside out, and you fashion like
you had to cut it in some other way, I think.
Yeah, there was well, you turn it into a bag.
Yeah, and it's a cute bag, and it was super
like
functional. Yeah, and everyone was, a big tote, basically, and it worked super well, and everyone was coming to the table, and a lot of people were making them, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's a really awesome project that people can do that's easy, and that's something that I think kind of needs to be more accessible on campus, and I kind of think of upcycling as reusing the same item of clothing, I guess. And so like we were kind of thinking about doing an upcycling type drive and a thrift, like a pop-up thrift shop kind of thing, like through our club. And so what we wanted to do is have people donate old items of clothing that they just don't wear anymore and that are still cute, they just don't see themselves wearing it,
like almost so, like a huge like friend clothing swap.
Yeah,
like you love this item but you never wear it, so yeah, like, give it to someone else.
And so then bring it in, we'll give you a ticket, and then we'll kind of set up this whole shop one day with all the clothes, and anyone who has tickets who had donated can come in and take that amount of clothing back. And so that was a really cool way to just get things that are sitting in people's closet out and get them to be able to be used, and then reduce, you know, having to go to the store and buy a new shirt because you can just go to this clothing swap. And so that was something that we kind of want to work on planning maybe for next semester. But I think just that's not something that's readily available to students, but if it was, then I think people would definitely take advantage of it. So,
and a lot of people at UNC, like, we talked to a couple people who knew how to do screen printing.
Oh,
and
really?
So we kind of like had talked about at that like pop-up clothing swap having if you bring like if people do end up bringing like a lot of old t-shirts, having a screen printing thing kind of set up where people can screen print a shirt and then maybe want to wear it again. Whereas before,
those are great ideas. Yeah. I love the idea of a really large clothing swap, especially because you'd realize that you have to kind of like regulate it with tickets, and it kind of incentivizes people to bring things in if they know they're getting things out of it.
Yeah.
And screen printing is a really good idea too, because I always think about also like bags, like tote bags, canvas tote bags. Everyone has tons of reusable bags that they're not necessarily using all the time. That's so you true. Get them for every single thing. Like just, it's such an easy giveaway item for a lot of people, and they just accumulate for no reason. So I think the idea of screen printing is also really cool. I saw something, actually I participated, I want to say it was like a high school community service club where we brought in old t-shirts and we made dog toys for the Humane Society.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we like, you cut them in strips and you make, like you braid them, or there was just like different fun things that you could make with the dog toys, and I feel like there must be like some sort of DIY.com article on it, and if I find it, I would love to send it to you guys, because I feel like that's so fun, and then like people like to take them to the Humane Society, and like
that's a fun
two birds, one stone,
and everybody loves dogs.
Yeah, and everybody loves dogs. Yeah, besides the idea of like accessibility of a really large clothing swap, or even just like having someone take the initiative to organize it, are there any other like really obvious barriers to sustainable fashion that you guys have come in contact with? I feel like one of the ones that I personally think about is the cost that I associate with sustainable brands.
Yeah.
And people don't always see the value of, you know, a t-shirt printed from organic cotton as opposed to just traditional cotton t-shirts from a Target or something like that. So what are some of the like really obvious problems that people have with sustainable fashion?
So I totally I totally identify with the cost thing, because like some of my favorite, like Stella McCartney, Mara Hoffman, like amazing brands, and I love their clothes and they're produced so well, but a pair of jeans is $500 and that's so absurd. And there really aren't many like affordable sustainable clothing brands, and there's a lot of like American families that all they can afford is Zara, and they're not shopping there because they just really want to. They just, or not Zara, but you know, H&M and those kind of things. Yeah, Forever 21. Yeah. And so that's actually a huge thing that we want to push with our club, is like when we talk about activism, that's really it. Like what we're trying to be active about is calling out these huge stores that have a huge platform, and say, like, our generation is not going to keep buying clothes from you if you're going to be completely like non-transparent about how you produce your clothes, like sourcing your materials from really terrible places, having all of these toxins and chemicals in your fabrics. And we had some crazy statistic where the Zara CEO makes 40,000 times more than the average garment worker in 1 year. And it's just the average Bangladesh garment worker. And it's just, it's disgusting. And so it's completely tied with environmental justice, you know, all of these ethical issues. And one thing I kind of like to compare it to is like the agricultural industry. Once consumers started saying, I want organics, I want non-GMO, all of those things, you start seeing it popping up everywhere. And there are these huge movements to completely revolutionize the food industry. And I think we could so easily do that with the fashion industry. It's just about like educating people and making this something that people start caring about when they decide where they go to shop. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a really good comparison with the agricultural industry.
Yeah,
because once you think about things like like organic food, or even just like food movements, like the gluten-free movement. Like I had a friend in elementary school that her whole family had celiac, and I remember her explaining it to me and like me not knowing anything about it. And she explained it to me, and she was like, yeah, it's kind of hard because my mom can't ever find anything gluten-free. Like, it's so hard for, we like bulk order this pasta online, whatever it might be. And I think about her all the time now because everybody's trying to be gluten-free. So for that reason, we have a lot of gluten-free restaurants and gluten-free options at the grocery store and things like that. So it's definitely a matter of just like demand and like what is trendy, like movement-wise. So as soon as people decided they wanted to be gluten-free for the sake of saying they were gluten-free.
Yeah, that's just the fad.
Yeah.
Aspect of it.
Now it's cool. And so I think fashion could definitely be a very similar movement in a sense. Once people start thinking about like, not just is this a really cute shirt, but also like, is this something that like I want to vote with my dollars, like you said, and just making sure that you're supporting brands that you really care about, and just like other aspects of like a conscious consumer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think another barrier kind of is that people associate, you know, eco fashion with not the cutest clothes, and that's right. something that we've kind of been trying to address with our group.
And that's fair, because, like, there aren't great
yeah. options. Yeah, and there. That's the thing. Yeah, that there aren't a lot of companies and brands that are, you know, emphasizing their sustainably produced clothing that is really cute. And I don't know, I feel like people think of, like, burlap sacks right. and stuff like that. They're like, okay, it's sustainable fashion, whatever. But we really want to show people how you can shop sustainably. You can find environmentally conscious brands that are cute. And also, I mean, there does need to be a rise of those types of companies that are producing fashionable clothing that people want to buy that's also sustainably produced. But I think that that also comes with the demand aspect. And if people start to care and start to make themselves heard and start to kind of push their the companies they shop at to be more sustainable, then we will see more of that supply of fashionable, sustainably produced clothing. But that's something we've been trying to do with SFI, making it cute, making people know it's not just wearing a burlap sack yeah. or something like that. There are clothes out there that are fashionable and sustainably produced, and kind of just trying to find the best ways to seek those out.
And also, I think, like, definitely the fashion industry is the perfect industry to try and take something like this on. And they're already going through a lot of, like, huge shifts right now, like, just with changing model diversity, which has been such mm-hmm. a big thing, like racial diversity, size diversity, age diversity, like all of these huge things where it used to just be super young, tall, white girls, like, and now it's become way more diverse than that, and they still have, like, a long way to go with that. But that was all just because like consumers were saying, you're not reaching, like, our population
yeah.
and we want to see ourselves represented in the clothes, like the brands that we support. And so I think this is just, once we really have the message out there, they will follow along. It's just starting the conversation, basically.
Yeah, I think those are really good points.
Yeah.
Before I let you guys go, because I know it's, like, late, it's a Sunday night, and I'm sure you have school tomorrow and homework and whatever, because I know I have homework. Do you guys have any, like, fun resources that you would recommend to people? I think it's great that you recommended the True Cost, and I'm excited yes, that y'all are going to show that.
Amazing.
And I was wondering if there's any, like, good articles, books, or, like, brands that you really like to support, anything that you're, like, all about?
I would say, so I actually found a lot of good things on the True Cost website. There's a really cool group called Fashion Revolution, and they have a ton of resources. Other than that, there's a really good TED Talk series on sustainable fashion. There's, like, 3 videos, they're 10 minutes long each. We have been, you'll kind of see different magazines write a couple articles about sustainable fashion, like Vogue, Dazed, Paper, like some like indie magazines. We're actually trying to eventually start a website that can have, like, resources for people. But I think
yeah,
I know
there's some good TED Talks, definitely. Even just searching kind of, like, companies that maybe you shop at, thinking about stuff like that, like the Levi video I saw was a TED Talk, and that was really interesting. And just kind of, I think, doing your own research on the brands where you're shopping is really important. And also, just in terms of making yourself a more sustainable consumer in terms of fashion, kind of seeking out thrift stores, seeking out things like that that can help you reduce your impact, and making sure just to reduce consumption, I think, in the first place is something that's really important.
Yeah, a lot of it, like, is kind of intuitive. I just think people don't really want to have to be like, but I really want to buy this.
Yeah.
Like, people don't want to have to actually, like, make that shift in their mind. But I think people, like, basically know how they can, like, simply start to...
Yeah, and there's this one website called The Circular Project, and they have an online site, but it's a store in Madrid that just opened a couple years ago, I think, but it was one of the first sustainable fashion stores. But it's actually a website and store where they bring in a bunch of different designers who have to meet certain standards in terms of sustainability and environmental impact. And so that's a website where you can kind of find a broad range of different fashion and styles, because it's multiple different designers, but you know that you're shopping sustainably because they all had to meet certain standards. So that's a cool website, and I think you can probably still order from them here, but they have a lot of good information on the industry in general as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me tonight and
having
this conversation. I'm so excited that we got to do this.
Me too. Yeah, thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Emma and Abby of the UNC Sustainable Fashion Initiative. I know that I left the conversation just really inspired and open-eyed about all of the things going on in the fashion industry that we should be a lot more mindful about. They say that fashion is the second most wasteful industry after oil, so it's really important to be thinking about just even a little bit of thrifting or a little bit of purchasing organic cotton t-shirts over a regular cotton t-shirt. Really, every little bit helps, and I'm so glad that I was able to talk to them and get some tips and put that out there for y'all. I will also go ahead and list down below a list of resources that I have put together myself if you are looking for more climate change and sustainability education more specifically. A couple weeks ago, one of the questions that I answered at the end of the podcast was like, where do I start? So I have gone ahead and put together a running list, a living list of some of my favorite books and podcasts and documentaries on climate change in general and sustainability. So if you're interested in looking at, you know, any of those resources, they're going to be listed down below. And I've also gone ahead and updated the link from the last time I mentioned that list here on the podcast. On that note, I would like to go into today's question. So every week at the end of every episode of Eco Chic, I like to answer a question that I've received via DM or email or in real life, whatever it may be. And the easiest way to get in contact with me if you have a specific question that you'd like to hear on the podcast is probably via DM on Instagram. I'm at Laura E. Diaz, or we also have at Eco Chic Podcast. Both of those will be listed down below, and my email is laura@lauraediaz.com. But the question this week that I will be answering is actually one that I got a lot, again, while I was at UNC for homecoming, and it was just very much, where do I start? Like, I don't even know where to start when I want to start living a sustainable lifestyle. And I think that the hardest thing for people when they want to live a more sustainable lifestyle is really just getting started and becoming a little bit more mindful about bringing things around with them. So what I like to always recommend is just tackle first the big four. So the big four is all of these single-use plastics that we come into contact with most frequently, and they are the easiest to replace just by bringing your own for particular events. So a coffee cup, a plastic bag, like a shopping bag, a straw, and a water bottle. So all like really basic, clear things that you might already have. Everybody's got a bunch of extra water bottles lying around their house, but maybe you're just not remembering it very frequently. Or how often do you just like need a midday coffee break and then you don't have your coffee cup with you? So the easiest place that I always like people to start is just start tackling the big four. So these are single-use plastic items that really, it's about just making sure you have an extra one at your desk or making sure you keep an extra lightweight water bottle in your backpack in case you ever forget it and that's where it lives and it doesn't go anywhere. So you always have one on hand. After you tackle the big four, there's other things that you can start thinking about. So that would be like reusable cutlery. Like I always have this little pink spork that I carry around with me so that I'm not forced into using a plastic fork when I want something to carry out. Similarly, chopsticks. I have a lot of friends that carry around chopsticks, so they're not forced into disposable chopsticks. Reusable produce bags are like a second tier big item that you can easily replace by just being a little bit more mindful. Not being forced to use plastic grocery bags is one thing, and then also filling those bags with reusable bags is awesome too. So where do you start? It's really just a matter of a mindset shift. So just think a little bit more about it. Start with the big four, carry around what you can, and always make sure that you have a spare reusable on hand. That's it for today's episode of Eco Chic. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate the support and the good vibes that I've received from everybody coming out of the podcast. I'm really, really happy to be doing what I'm doing. And if it's helpful for you, please go ahead and let me know. Either let me know directly or go ahead and leave us a rate and a subscription on your favorite listening platform. You can find us everywhere. So Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Eco Chic. Tell your friends. Again, I'm so happy to do this. I'm so glad that it's helpful. And I will see you next week.